This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. If you're a sports fan, there is no shortage of sports content out there. Podcasts, documentaries, all sports all the time, talk shows. Take your pick, right? If you want actual sports journalism, though, coverage, not entertainment, these are grim days. The New York Times dissolved its sports desk last year. The Los Angeles Times has laid off parts of its sports department. The once great Sports Illustrated is now more properly late and lamented. Sports journalist Keith O'Brien had a piece in The Atlantic the other day, the headline of which was, "You'll miss sports journalism when it's gone." Keith, welcome to the program. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Kai.
There is an incongruity, right, between the hundreds of billions of dollars in the aggregate. I'm sure it's close to $500 billion or $1 trillion in sports globally, right? And the austerity that is hitting sports journalism, right? We're seeing that all the time. And I mentioned that just as a segue into a question about ESPN and the NFL. ESPN, one of the leading sports journalism organizations of the last, I don't even know how long they've been around, 40 years, something like that. They're now thinking about letting the NFL buy a stake. What does that tell you?
Well, let's be clear. The NFL and ESPN are already partners. ESPN pays a boatload of money to cover and air games for the NFL. And so those two entities are already partners in almost every way, shape, or form. But yeah, I mean, when one of our last remaining lions is in reportedly advanced talks to give an equity stake, an actual stake in its business to a league that it covers, Well, that raises tons of journalistic questions. You don't need to be a journalist to know that there's a lot of baked-in problems there.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of a line in your piece, actually, or a passage in your piece where I think it's baseball writers. There's a baseball writer you were talking to who said, you know, the teams already have such control. And that's been created by the imbalance in power, right? The dollar value of these teams and the players and the lack of investment on the part of media companies and newspapers specifically, right? The teams now have all the control and the media has none.
Well, that's true. And, you know, it is also completely different than how it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, in the 1960s, 70s, even into the 1980s, reporters had up close and personal access to the athletes they covered. They were in the locker rooms and clubhouses on a daily basis. You know, one longtime beat writer I spoke to said that he used to shag baseballs on the road when he was covering the Boston Red Sox. That's how enmeshed he was with the team.
Which is in and of itself a little troubling, right? Just from a journalism ethics point of view.
Well, right. And right. It did create problems.
Right.
I mean, that
right.
coziness between sports writers and athletes did, you know, at times shield us, mm-hmm. the public, from the real stories. But it also led to breaking news. It also led to feature stories and investigations because the reporters were there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have the reporters in the room or in the clubhouse or on the field, you're just going to be missing things.
So in 5 or 10 years, maybe less at the rate things are going, right, with the layoffs at the LA Times and the lack of coverage there and the New York Times and The Athletic and all of that I talked about in the introduction, how long do we have, do you think, before meaningful sports journalism is gone?
Well, personally, as a journalist, I hope that never happens. But I do fear that the trend lines we're seeing right now predict a very dark future for, again, in-depth sports journalism. In Chicago at Northwestern University, mm-hmm. there was a massive story, and it was about the suspension of a very popular football coach mm-hmm. over vague details about hazing. And what was ultimately unearthed there wasn't found by professional journalists. It was found by student journalists working at the Daily Northwestern. And so were it not for those student journalists in the room on the campus doing the work, we might never have learned the details of that hazing scandal at Northwestern.
Sports journalist Keith O'Brien, he's also an author. He's got a book coming out, actually, and he tells this story in the Atlantic piece about Pete Rose. His book is called Charlie Hustle. The piece in the Atlantic is called You're Going to Miss Sports Journalism When It's Gone, and I think we are. That was me editorializing. Keith, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Kai.